you live from the red carpet of the Survivor Island of the Idols finale. It's Rob Has a Podcast. Here we are in the daytime right after the finale, and it was an eventful one featuring a win by Mr. Tommy Sheehan. We will talk with Tommy and all of the final five here today and get their feelings on this end to the season, and then also a very eventful finale to this Survivor season. So looking forward to talking with this final five here today. By the time you're hearing this, there will also be a Survivor Know-It-Alls recap with myself and Stephen Fishback when I'm back in the studio. So be on the lookout for that. And then on Thursday, I'll be together with Mike Bloom to talk about our thoughts on the finale further and answer more of your feedback questions. So get those in for Thursday. But without further ado, let's talk to the winner of Survivor Island of the Idols. All right, we are here with the winner of Survivor Island of the Idols, Tommy Sheehan. Tommy, congratulations.
Thank you. I got it right up here. Dream come true. I haven't opened it yet, so I don't know if there's even a check in there. But hey, this is a dream since I've been probably, 7 years old. I watched season one. I fell in love with those old school type of players, and now I feel like I took it back. And I'm just so thankful. Just talking to you, being on our half, just being able to tell my story. This is awesome.
Tommy, your game was a bit of a throwback. No immunity wins, no idols, no advantages. You didn't have to make the fire.
Yep.
I think that it was, a very unique game for where Survivor is in season 39. Was that part of what you wanted to do? Was that what you were thinking, or that's just how it played out?
That was always what I was thinking. Did I want idols? Yes. I didn't find them. So that was kind of what I lied at Final Tribal. But I never wanted an individual immunity necklace until 8. And people are not going to believe me, but I did throw challenges. I said, I'm 6'4". And Elaine, even before merge, said, Tommy's the biggest social threat. He gets along with everybody. So now I'm a big social threat. I win an individual immunity. Yeah, it saves you that night, but is it going to save you the next night? So no. So I was always about lowering my threat level. Probably people are sick and hear that. But hey, that's what I did. I was lowering my threat level. I also realized how likability is a factor in this. I looked at Elaine. I was like, I love this girl. And I remember one night I was making everyone laugh. I was reenacting. I was pretending to be everyone. I was doing dress up. And that night I couldn't sleep because I was like, I made too many people laugh. I said, so tomorrow you are not going to talk to people. You're going to lay low because you're too likable. So my game was always about checking myself. And what Mike Bloom just said, it's been 20 seasons, 10 years since somebody has won without an individual immunity and advantage in this. And you know what I'm pumped about? Jeff probably wanted Boston Rob to have a hand in the winner. I'm so happy I didn't need Boston Rob. I didn't need Sandra. Island of the Idols, I just blew up that theme. And I'm so pumped about that because I just took this game back a little. Because the 30s were two advantages, and I fell in love with game the season one, season two. And that's the kind of game I played, which is awesome.
Yeah. I like it. You are embracing the fact that you did not even use the theme. Robin Sanders did not teach you anything. You were the teacher.
Yeah. Teaching time with Tommy. Everyone loves that line I heard, so I'll keep using it. The lesson of the day, you don't need Boston Rob. You don't need Sandra. They have nothing, so I wish I was able to battle with them on, the War of the Champions or whatever that season's called. But, hey, I feel like, again, if you went to Boston Rob and Sandra, it put a target on your back. And I know it's probably not the most interesting thing to watch, but I was all about lowering my threat level and trying to be always the center point where everybody wanted to be around me. My favorite thing is what Sandra said. Every single person that went to the Island of the Idols said, oh, Tommy's my number one. So I had Janet as my number one, Lauren as my number one, Dean as my number one. Elaine said she wanted me, and Jack said and then Nora takes me at the end. Yeah. So how better of a social game can you play, in my eyes, where 6-7 people all thought I was their number one, when in reality, I was my only number one.
And as Jamal pointed out, you were the first person to get brought to the end and then go on to win there at the final four. But if you could make the fire, why not go into that and then beat Lauren and knock her out? And it's not the kind of thing where she can be mad at you. You were up against her. Did you consider going into the final four fire making challenge?
Like you saw, I taught Dean. Dean had no clue. How do you go on Survivor and have no clue how to make fire? But I needed Lauren out of there. Could I have done it myself? Yes. And would my hands be dirty? No, because I did it myself. But I thought in my shoes, I can use this move. Nora just took me. She literally says at Final Tribal, Dean is easier to beat, but let me take Tommy. again, a notch on my social resume. I thought that was a huge move that people are going to overlook. I just convinced somebody to take me, even though she knows that she can't beat me and that Dean's someone that you take. And then I taught Dean everything he needs to know to make fire to beat Lauren. So I was able to kind of get the best of both worlds. I was had safety. It was a social move in my knelt. And then I got Dean, my boy, my best friend, to learn how to make fire. I still, how do you want Survivor not know how to make fire? Jeez.
Did you recruit Nora to go annoy Lauren while she was trying to practice the fire? Is that accurate?
Oh, I poked the bear, man. I first babysat her because I know she changes her mind like any second. So I would just literally follow her like a kindergarten. Hey, you probably know with your son, like, dad. So I was just Lauren, Nora, come follow me. And then I was like, wait a second. Hey, get this. And then I also, you know, I feel bad about because I love Lauren. I would always go to Lauren, even though Dean literally couldn't make fire. I'd be like, Dean is killing it. He's making the best fires. He's doing it in a second. And she would break down. She couldn't do it. She's like, I quit. She would throw her thing away. So she was losing practice time. I was building his confidence, destroying her confidence. And it's a move you have to make. Is Lauren a sister to me? I love her to death. But hey, I played out there to win $1 million. And that's exactly what I needed to do to, again, show a perfect social game in my eyes. I don't want to say perfect. And get Dean to beat her for me.
Okay, Tommy, well, great job once again. Hope that we can hear more about your game in the future, and congratulations on the win.
I appreciate it. I would love to come on the tell-all and tell everything because there's so much you didn't see. So I'm so excited. Thankful for Survivor to have me, thankful for you to have me, and dang, it's going to be fun to party tonight.
Tommy, thank you for bringing the Survivor Championship back to Long Island.
Yeah, that's it. And one more, teaching time with Tommy, I don't have a lesson. I'm just out. All right. All right. Thank you.
Great job. Thanks, Tommy. All right. We are here with Mr. D.K. Chillin himself, Detective Dean. Dean, how are you?
Well, more names. D.K. Chillin, Detective Dean, D.K. Villain. We got to get that one in there, right?
You got to get that in there. So many names, so many titles, and almost the winner of the season. Dean, what a surge you had here at the end of the game.
Keyword almost. And that's how I feel. It's like I knew I was playing from behind and I needed to turn up something, and like that surge was like, I don't think I could have asked for a bigger surge.
Yeah.
So like obviously it comes back to like I needed to do more. So like I'm very, very proud of how I turned it up at the end. Because at that point, that's all I could do. You know, like I wasn't going back and mending relationships with Janet and Krishna and folks on the jury, you know. So like at that point, that's all I could do. And like to pull all those tricks out of my bag, literally, it was like something I'm super proud of myself about. Like, but coming a second is, it's not, I don't want to say heartbreaking. Like,
yeah.
I knew I was playing for fine. I know Tommy played an amazing game. Like, how is he going to tell me, Janet, Nora, Lauren, that he's bringing all of us to the final three? All of us know it, too, because he's talking to me, Dean. We're going to the final three, but Lauren and Janet, I'm going to go tell them the same just so they think I'm with them. And I'm like, yeah, cool, Tommy, that's cool. Like, and I was so stupid to think, like, he must be doing the same thing to them. So, like, for him to be able to pull that off is, like, absolutely crazy. And he was, like, played such a, like, honest and, I don't want to say honest, but, like, he was a relationship builder and he crushed it. And, like, I don't know, to even, like, be able to, like, make that surge and at least have a battle with him at Final Tribal Council, I tried to fight. I'm super proud of it.
Dean, if this was a 42-day game, a 45-day game, do you think you would win?
I still don't think so. Like, if I would have got a couple more idols, who knows? Went to go see Robin Sandrigan, another relic. Like, at the end of the day, I think it was a little too late, but, like, it was more about the relationships that I perhaps ignored. And, like, if I'm already down three folks on the jury, like, how do I even expect to win? So I think, like, if I were to, like, play again, probably won't. I wasn't that big of a character, Elaine, Nora, Jen.
Oh, you were a character, Dean. You were a character.
Yeah. But, like, obviously, like, literally ignoring people, like, yeah, to not talk strategy with them, like, Karishma and Janet, like, Nora Friday did, like, what the heck was I thinking? Like, I have to be friendly with them in some capacity. And I think even, like, so late in the game, like, you've already covered, oh, what do you do for work? What does your family look like? Like, to build deeper trust is when you're talking about gameplay. And obviously, I didn't do that with some folks. Tommy did, and, like, Tommy was so good at it. And, yeah, I don't think if I had 42 days, like, I was rebuilding those relationships, so therefore I don't think it would have helped.
Who
knows? Maybe we had a couple more laughs of, like, with another fake legacy manager or something. Who knows?
So do you feel like, was that part of your strategy of that, hey, I'm going to wait until the end to really turn it, or just that's how the ball bounced because that's when you started getting those advantages?
It absolutely was my strategy all along. Yeah. Was, like I said, don't be the biggest character in the room. Don't be the biggest athletic threat in the room. So I wanted other folks to, like, step up and do that stuff. And I think it's part of my personality as well. So, like, it was absolutely part of my strategy to then turn it on at the end. That's not to say, like, at the beginning of the merge, I was throwing challenges. Like, I didn't fight my all. Mm-hmm. But, like, I wasn't beating Beast Mode Aaron anyway. But I did, like, drop out. But, like, there was one, like, the one where I was first out, where we were on the balancing with the ball and the, like, little spool thing.
Yeah.
Like, I was first out, and I was actually trying. So, like, I think it just all, like, all timing came together. And, like, I knew at this point I needed to be aggressive, and I tried to. I forget the question, but, yeah.
So, you tonight were debating between, okay, I could either idle nullify Janet out of the game, or I could not use that, or play an idol, and then save Janet and knock Lauren out of the game. You ultimately decided to use the idol nullifier on Janet. Was it close at all? Did you really go back and forth on that?
The editors do a great job, but it wasn't close at all. Janet, everyone knew. Tommy and I spoke about it, like, way back at the merge. Like, they didn't show much of it, but, like, he and I were super close there and kind of built out a strategy all the way to the end. And we wanted to keep Elaine and Janet in, like he said, because they were always going to be the logical votes to be voted out, but we knew they couldn't get to 3 because they were going to win. They couldn't get to 4 because they were the 2 best fire makers. And we knew they couldn't get to 5 because if they happened to win some redneck game, they were beating us at 4 and 3. So, like, it was all part of the plan. And, like, Lauren, yes, is an obvious social threat, but I personally think Tommy and Nora all had a way better chance at baking fire against Janet and against Lauren than Janet. So Janet was an obvious nullifier. Like, and when I was sitting there with Rob and Sandra, I was like, we saw her through the woods the other day. Wow, like, this is awesome. Like, hopefully this flips on. Yes, it did. And rest is history.
If Tommy and Lauren got to the end, would Lauren have won the game?
So when I was out there, I absolutely think so. That's why I teamed up with Tommy and at times was willing to get Lauren out, but not necessarily Tommy. I felt we were always vying for the jury and tribal lines were still split. So I felt like those folks had Vokai in their pocket. I was fighting for my Lyro people, but Lauren had a better relationship with, like, Missy and Aaron on the Lyro side than Tommy did. So if I were to be in the finals against Lauren, I would have a more difficult shot. That said, after Tommy's performance at Final Tribal Council, I felt like he was, like, super articulate, like, gunning for you down your throat. Like, I feel like he could have, I don't want to say, like, had his way with Lauren, but I think he could have bullied her a little bit just because their moves were so tightly aligned.
Okay, Dean, I got the wrap-up signal that you got to run. You had a great finale, a great run, and you were very fun to watch play on this season. And really appreciate you making some time to talk to us. And all the best. Can you real quick, what happened to the Nikes?
I still couldn't find them. Nora took them. We did find them, but I couldn't actually reach them. So Tommy had to go reach them for me when she did them. I was thinking about wearing Nikes, but I don't want to be too outlandish. But,
okay.
All right. Just remember, like, always split the vote, even if you say it in front of people. Like, it's the most logical thing. Duh. Go on.
There you go. All right. DK chilling. All the best, okay?
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate it. Okay.
Hi, Nora. Yeah, come on.
Video.
Yeah, is that okay?
Can we hug first?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Nora. Okay, come on over here. Come on.
To all your podcasts. Before this season, I did not know your podcast at all. Yeah. And since then, I've spent dozens of hours listening to you and enjoying. I see what people love so much about this. You make the game extended, and it needs to be because these little glimpses are not enough. We need this to always continue. That's all I've...
Okay, Nora. All right. Wow. Preach, Nora. Okay. Nora, all right. We are here with Nora, and Nora just gave us a great commercial for Robin.
I need a t-shirt, too. Maybe a crop top. I'll wear it at yoga.
Whatever you need, Nora. We'll get it. We'll get it for you. Nora, I really wanted to believe. At the end, I was sitting there in the rooms, and I'm like, Nora's going to do this. Nora's going to pull this off. I was trying so hard to manifest it into existence.
That means so much to me because I've heard you speak all over this game and who you really think can do it. And I didn't feel that I was one of those people that you felt capable of doing it. So that makes me feel so cool that I turned you around.
I didn't think that you could, and I was really hoping that I was wrong, and I was hoping for nothing more tonight than to talk about how you were, although winner, you won in the final three. I really thought that you had a good shot, and then I was waiting for somebody to write down a Nora vote.
It was tough for me to see that, but you have to realize where you're at in the game at that moment. And, you know, with Tommy and Dean, like they even said it, they kind of are like this. And it's easier to go with this than what's Nora? What is she doing? Is there a rhyme to her reason? A reason to her rhyme? You know, I didn't do a great job at defining my game at the end. I felt like I was really on a defense to explain myself. And I didn't have cheerleaders in there being like, dude, Nora, freaking annihilate these guys. Put them together. Your game is so much more comprehensive. It's the most diverse and well-rounded in outwit, outlast, outplay. So go for it, girl. And instead, I let the jury beat me down. You don't see some things, and it was just kind of like they made you believe, yeah, maybe you don't deserve it. And then when you start to entertain that and let them get in your head, you see my body language, you see me shut down, and then you're just like, where'd Nora go?
Do you feel like that that's what it came down to, that you felt like that you weren't as demonstrative in the final tribal council of pounding the table and say, I am authentically who I am. These other guys lied to you. I never did.
That's true. The issue is the game of Survivor has evolved. People want the strategists. They want the ones that are like, I did this, and I put this hit, and I did this move, and we did this, and we orchestrated that. I blindsided that person, da-da-da. That's where we've gone. People are not looking at, like, the Denise player that's so well-rounded in all those areas. Like, it's like they don't care anymore. I mean, you see it when you go out there day one. No one's building shelter. And if they're building it, they're not building it properly. And they're sitting around, like, talking about game. And you're like, guys, that's why you see me so frustrated talking about coconuts and you know, rituals that will help us in and day out. People don't give a shit. People just want to sit around and game. And so that's the thing. This is a game of gamers. Even if I had deliberated perfectly, I don't think I would have turned them around. Because they respected the gamer that Tommy and Lauren were. And then when Lauren's gone, it's just Tommy. And they saw Dean as, like, the way I was trying to paint him that last night. He's following the numbers. He goes to the safe move. He could have pulled that Tommy move, man. And I knew he was going to. I told the girl, I'm like, he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. And then I've got to backpedal. A lot of my game could have. I could have gone home so many times, and he was a lot to do with that on that second half of the game.
Nora, I could listen to you talk all day. I know. No, but that's perfect because that's what we do on podcasts. And so, Nora, that I would love to talk to you more and continue this conversation. I'm getting the signal that we have to wrap things up. I want to hear more about your entire journey. I want to hear more about your feelings on everything. And I hope we can do that one day.
It's happening. Okay. You know this. We waited so long to understand, like, why does Nora do these things? Why does she say these things? Like, I know you have a lot of questions, and I'm so excited to answer them.
All right, and you can dance, and you can and you can answer all those questions.
On video, we can do it. We can do whatever you'd like to do.
All right, Nora, thank you so much, and I know you're going to run. Great to meet you.
You're amazing.
All right, thank you, Nora.
Thank
you are, too.
Thanks.
Before we get back to the interviews from the finale of Island of the Idols, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Quip, and the holiday shopping season is here. And whether you're looking for a last minute gift for someone special or looking to start a new healthy habit for the new year that's right around the corner, Quip is something that's sure to put a smile on everybody's mouth because it's dental care that you'll actually want to use every day. That's why Quip is the perfect, thoughtful, and practical gift. It's the electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and toothpaste, all intentionally designed to make good habits simple. The Quip electric toothbrush has sensitive sonic vibrations and a timer with 30-second pulses to guide your routine, and the Quip floss dispenser has a pre-marked string, so you always know the right amount to use. Plus, Quip delivers brush heads, floss, and toothpaste refills every 3 months. It's great. Everything comes in the mail, including a new battery for your Quip and a new brush head that sometimes we wait too long to replace the brush head of our regular toothbrushes. With Quip, you don't have to worry about that. And why I love my Quip is because that after 30 seconds, it tells you to move on to the next quadrant. So you know that you're brushing your teeth for the perfect amount of time. So join over 3 million happy customers and check everyone off your gift list right now with Quip. Just go to getquip.com/Rob to save on gift sets and get your first refill for free with the refill plan. That's your first refill free at getquip.com. That's getquip.com/Rob. getquip.com/Rob. Back to the interviews. All right, we are here with our fourth place finisher, Lauren. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm okay. Lauren, you're the you should have won person.
I should have won. Should have been me. But you know what? I think Tommy, if it wasn't me, I wanted it to be Tommy. So,
were you affected at all when it came out at the tribal council about how Tommy was not loyal to you in the same way that you were loyal to him?
Absolutely. I'm someone that that wears my heart very close to my sleeve, and I think that with Tommy, it was hard to accept that. But at the end of the day, Tommy didn't know me before this experience, and he came to play for his family just like I came to play for mine. So he had to do what he had to do, because I would have won.
Going back to the tribal council where Elaine got voted out, I thought that you were pushing for that move to vote Nora out at that final seven vote, and maybe Janet wasn't on board. Was that how it went down?
That's exactly how it went down. You're a Survivor player. You're very smart, Rob. You know. But yeah, Janet also had a deal with Tommy, so I felt like I couldn't ever come to her and be like, hey, we need to do something. We need to shake this up. And I think, you know, Nora's normal. It's fun. We had to keep her around. You know, it is what it is.
Was there any consideration for Dean or even Nora in the final three, or were you Tommy from the jump?
You know, Tommy wanted to get Nora out since day one, so I don't think that that was ever in his plan. I think when you have a player like Dean, who I love you, Deanie, but you see your way to the end and you see who you can beat. I mean, I think my biggest threat was Janet. I feel like I could have sat next to anyone besides her and won. But yeah, you know, that's how it goes.
Do you feel like that you just had a bad day with the fire, or is it really not your thing?
Oh, listen, no, it's not my thing. I am a Barbie, but I did practice my little butt off. Like, I practiced very hard. I made fires all the time, every single chance I got. And the tools were different, Rob. That's the thing. Like, I practiced with a different kind of flint. However, you know, it is what it is. Like, I just think it was a bad day. I made six fires that day and literally was like, I got this. I'm in it. And I actually wasn't nervous, but that's all she wrote.
If you had one thing that you look back on that you wish you would have done differently in the game, do you know what that one thing is?
To be honest with you, Rob, I wouldn't do anything differently because I wouldn't have made it as far as I did. Yeah. I think if I go back for second chances or something like that, then I might do things a little bit differently, maybe be a little more cutthroat. But I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of what I did. I'm proud of sleeping outside for 38 days in one dress that I really wanted to change my outfit, Rob, and I couldn't.
You've really been sort of, put out by Jeff Probst as the person who was the kid who watched this game for so long and then came out here to go and eventually play it. And it's sort of like, hey, look at Lauren. You could be, he said it a couple times, even not even on the taping. What is that like to have that put upon you?
To have someone like Jeff Probst that you look up to say that you can do this, and this is something that you're capable of is unreal. And to know that I was that little kid that idolized these people, Rob, Sandra, Sari, everyone. Like, I just, it's amazing to me. I mean, last night we were all out to dinner, and Sugar came up, and all these different people, Abby Maria, and I'm like, I get to take pictures with these queens? Are you kidding me? Like, it's an out-of-body experience, and I'm so grateful to Jeff for allowing me the opportunity to live out my dream.
Lauren, we don't have a lot of time with you. If there's one thing that the fans should look at, what was your signature move in the game that we should be even more excited about talking about?
My signature move in the game was running the game. If you ask any of these players on this carpet who was running and calling the shots, they'll tell you. That Busted Can of Biscuits even said it. She's like, Lauren's got it. I had Tommy like this, wrapped. And bacon isn't a carb, Big Red.
Okay. All right. Lauren, thank you so much. Great to see you, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Rob. Okay. Great to meet you.
Great to meet you, too.
Thank you.
All right, we are here with a woman who took home fifth place, but also a nice chunk of change, courtesy of Sia. It's Janet Carbon. Janet, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. This has been a wonderful experience overall, and I'm feeling very high.
Janet, I think you spoke for so many of us tonight when you talked about the idol nullifier. What's it doing there at five?
I got to tell you, I really don't think it has any business being available at a Final Five. Take all your personalities out of it. Just take five people. That top person, who was me, that top is either going to get voted out, or they've got to either win immunity or get an idol or switch things around. It's a no-win situation with the nullifier. You don't have a shot. When there's more people in the game, okay, but it's a very powerful, powerful tool. And to win it on a flip of a coin, are you kidding me?
Preach, preach, Janet. Oh, my God. Janet, you talked about how Tommy betrayed you. You talked about that in the Final Tropic Council. When did you find that out? Was it when you were voted out or at Ponderosa?
I found out he betrayed me when I was voted out. Yeah, I realized it all then. And then when I got to Ponderosa, it just exploded with how much, you know, he was working his game. I got to give him kudos for that.
Were you surprised that they let you back in? There was one point right after the merge where you sort of got frozen out of everything, and it looked like you were going to go home. You played your idol, but you somehow were able to work your way back into everybody's good graces. How were you able to do that?
Well, it was a very dark couple nights, and at one point I made a decision, screw this. If I'm going to be here, I'm going to go for this. It was tough. Once I made that decision, I went to Dan. I said, let's be allies again. The only way I was going to get further in the game was to be allies. I didn't have a problem with Dan. I spoke up for the girls he was my ally before that. So I said, you know what, let me go back to him. He's got some good gameplay going on. If I can get him on board. And then we decided to play it like we were still enemies for another day or two. So he and I still looked like I was on the outs. And that way people might approach me who were on the bottom. And that indeed did happen. And then Dan and I reformed and went from there. That was how I did it.
What did you think about the way that the interview with Jeff and Kelly went on the finale tonight?
I think it was very respectful. I am somebody that has had to deal with this topic as an employer, as, you know, with family and all kinds of situations, and I think Jeff handled it very, very well by taking on responsibility, not running away from it. I'm a big believer in that. I think everybody, even if you make a mistake with something, take the responsibility on. I think that Kelly was, it was difficult. She spoke clearly and concisely, and I think she spoke very eloquently.
Janet, do you think that you have another Survivor run in you? Do you think that you will come back? Are you up for that?
I am up for it. Got to clear it through the guy at home, my husband, and make sure my family and my lieutenants at the beach are on board. But I personally would enjoy the honor. I think I'm physically up for it. And, let's bring it.
What was the key to your success in the game where that a lot of people, and myself included, thought, okay, well, Janet's probably not going to be long for this game, but you defied all of the odds and were such a big threat that everybody had to get rid of you. Well, what do you chalk that up to?
Well, honestly, being in charge of 150 lifeguards, oceanfront lifeguards that range from the age of 16 to 64, and dealing, I respect somebody even if they're 17, and they know if you respect them. I can learn from people that are younger than me. And I believe people feel that. People know when, you walk in, just because I'm older, I deserve. No, you got to earn respect. I don't care how old you are. And I think that my lifeguards taught me a big lesson. And they taught me how to, be a part of and yet still be the boss. And I use those strategies on the island. They asked me, I was asked somewhere, who are going to be my tightest allies? Young athletic guys. That's what I deal with.
Janet, did you do a poor job of keeping it a secret how well you could make the fire?
No, I did not keep it, my fire-making skills a secret because I am older. I needed to come in there and boom. I needed to show them that I was going to make it past the first or second boat. I needed to show my importance and what I could do. So it was a double-edged sword. I have to show something like that, but it could kill me in the end. But still my own fault. I need to figure out at the end how to get around that.
Did you have any thoughts about voting for either Dean or Nora, or were you Tommy all the way?
Voting for them.
To win.
To win. Yes, I went into that last tribal, and I meant it. And I said, the answers to your questions are going to be based on my moral compass. And if you do that, that's who I'm giving my vote. And Tommy got it. So.
If it wasn't Tommy, who was it going to be?
Probably Dean. Probably Dean. He had better gameplay, but at the end.
Have you given any thought to, if you did play again, what you would change up?
I can't tell you that because I have thought about that. And if I go into another season, I don't want them to hear me say what I would say.
Okay. Janet, well, thank you so much for... smart. Thank you for making some time to talk with us today. I know you were, such a role model. It came up on the show tonight, and I really got that when during the middle of the season, when everything was getting so crazy, especially on social media, that you were somebody who really went to bat for the members of your cast who were getting a lot of hate. And I felt like that was the same thing, the same impulse that led you to protect Kelly.
Yeah. Well, nobody deserves to have hate mail. You can be upset with somebody, but if they're owning it, which they were, it's a mistake. It may be a bad mistake. I'm not saying there's levels of mistakes, but they were owning it. Hate mail is not acceptable to anybody, for me.
Janet, thank you so much, and great to meet you in person.
Thank you.
Take care. All right. I am very pleasantly surprised that we have the chance to talk to Kelly Kim here tonight. Kelly, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah. Is this a lot less pressure, or is this as pressure-packed as being on the stage talking to Jeff earlier tonight?
Pressure in different ways. I listen to your podcast, so I'm definitely like a little bit nervous to be talking to you.
So about the same, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Kelly, I thought that the show really did a great job to address everything that went on with you during the season. And I thought that you were incredible up there talking about where you're coming from and helping to explain to people who may not understand exactly what this was all about. So I just want to say kudos to you, and again, echo what Jeff had to say about your bravery throughout this whole ordeal.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's kind of been a crazy experience, and I think the last 9 months have been very difficult in a lot of ways. And, you know, to feel heard and believed by Jeff, you know, who really leads CBS and Survivor, you know, it means a lot, right? Because I think that we can put these policies and procedures into place that I have asked for and suggested. But unless there's intent behind it, unless there's responsibility taken, like, those policies and procedures are just words on a page.
Were you involved at all in crafting what the new policies that CBS put out this week came to be?
Yeah. So, yeah, every single one of them, actually. It was really important to me that there were these specific things that were put into place so that what happened to me wouldn't happen to someone else. And it was important that there, you know, is a third-party professional, that there are these policies and procedures. When something like this happens, like, we know what to do, we know where to go, and there is a zero-tolerance policy for something like this, because I don't want anyone else... I don't want anyone else to have my experience.
Yeah. Because in talking with so many of the fans over the course of the season, that it was so painful to see what happened to you. But for so many people that watched the show, that they felt like, hey, this is like what happened to me also. So many people were going through this experience, which I'm sure must be painful for you to relive. And at the same time, so many other people were reliving their own experiences because of how this came up on the show.
Yeah. And I think that was really really the amazing thing was this overwhelming amount of support and voices that came from all different ages, all genders, from all around the world, of sharing not just their support, but also their own very personal experiences of sexual harassment, sexual assault, and everything that comes after that, too. And I think in many ways I wanted to just sort of like collapse, but in hearing these voices, I realized that I couldn't do that. It would be doing injustice, not just to my voice, but the many stories that had been shared with me.
Can you tell me how that segment came to be tonight? Is that Jeff's idea, or are you talking it through with production about how to handle this on the live finale?
I would say that over the last week, it's been a work in progress. You know, I was very worried that I wasn't going to be able to speak openly and in a format with an audience and, you know, people to hear what I was saying. And after going through something like this, it's so important to be supported and believed, but then also to have a voice, you know, to be able to tell the truth of what happened. And so, I, you know, it does mean a lot that I was able to have the opportunity to do that.
I do want to ask you a question about your jury vote, unless there's anything else that you have to say about how everything was handled tonight. I'm assuming you were one of the votes for Tommy, correct? Were you tempted at all to give a vote to Dean, considering that you guys had had the mutual friend from outside of the game?
I would never vote for someone because we had a mutual friend. For me, it was really about sitting there and listening to what people are saying and what their strategies were. And Tommy really played an amazing social game. I'm a little bit of a Survivor purist, and so I loved the fact that he never had an idol, never had an advantage, never won immunity, you know, it was taken to the end, didn't even have to make fire, and I have to respect a game like that. That's amazing.
You pulled off maybe the most ambitious move of the season when you ended up getting Jack voted out of the game and having Dean play that idol. And of the many bad things that came out of this season, I feel like that very ambitious, bold move really has sort of gotten lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. Yeah, I mean, it was super cool to do. I think that's the cool thing about having constraints around things. And
it was very bold.
It was very bold. And, you know, people like to say I, you know, made a move too soon, and that is all potentially accurate and arguable. And, you know, but, you know, it was fun.
It was fun. And I really feel like strategically, maybe the high point of the season. That was really great to get to talk about.
Yeah, it's funny because people sort of attribute my vote out to that move. You know, everything in Survivor is slightly linked, but I think there were a lot of other things happening that contributed to it.
To say the least.
Yeah, and so I think it does suck to go from a move like that and be like, I could have just lasted one more to make sure that, you know, the move was separate from my vote out. Yeah.
Did Nora have a chance in the final three?
I really went into it with an open mind. You know, if Nora, you know, gave a good explanation for her strategy, like that was what was most important to me. You know, I think some people look at immunity wins and things like that, but for me, the strategy is the most important. Like that's what makes this game so amazing.
Kelly, would you consider playing Survivor again, or is just this whole experience something that you would like to put behind you?
I was just saying that Survivor came at this amazing time where I was in business school. I was able to take 2 months off, and, you know, I just started a new job and all these different things. And so, you know, never say never, but it's really would depend on timing.
Okay. All right, Kelly, thank you again. It was great to get to talk to you in person. And really, thank you for everything that you've helped put in motion out of these really terrible circumstances in this season.
Thank you. And thank you for all of your podcasts. I thought that it was a very well-rounded way of explaining what happened and discussing the issue in a really responsible way. So
I really appreciate that, Kelly. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. So there you have it. The final five, and Kelly here live after the finale on the red carpet from the Island of the Idols. Again, thanks to everybody who stuck with us throughout this season. It was a very wild ride for us as far as the podcast is concerned. So thank you guys so much for your support all through this season. We still have a lot to do. I will be back with the great Mike Bloom. Mike, you want to come over here? You want to preview? Let's get Mike Bloom here on the red carpet to preview what we're going to talk about. Mike Bloom is staying at my house. Here is Mike Bloom. Mike, how'd your interviews go for Parade.com?
They went pretty darn well. Listen, I was with these people from day -3, so I think it makes sense that we're on day like 9 months past the game actually happening. So I sort of tracked them from the beginning to the end here. It's great to reconnect with them, especially after a very, very interesting finale. So we're going to have a lot to talk about tomorrow.
Do you want to tease anything that you want to talk about in particular tomorrow?
Oh, it's got to be Tim Martinez's surprise appearance during an off-camera moment.
Yeah, we were at the live finale. Again, I don't know if there's going to be anything that ends up not making the show that we saw in the room, but looking forward to seeing how the actual televised version goes. And we got some fun stories from our afternoon here at CBS Television City, okay? So be sure to check out Mike's interviews as well at parade.com. Follow a Mike Bloom type. Send your questions in. rob@website.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP.
I'm sure there will be a lot.
Yeah. So we will hear from you guys tomorrow when we wrap this up. Also, maybe we will have some stories from later on tonight to share as well. So thank you again. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre for putting this all together. And from outside the Island of the Idols finale, I'm Rob Cesternino. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.